The following sermon was preached at Selma Community Church, a church in Jefferson City that exists to build communities of transformed disciples who live for the glory of God by connecting people to Christ and community. For more information, you can find it at www.somajc.org.
It is so good to see so many people out, and I know you're glad to be out. It's been such a wild 2 weeks, 1 week in particular, this last week with the weather. It's finally warm enough to where we can get back together, and it's good to know that we can still have a place to do that. So, well, we've had a very good study so far over the last several weeks on the Lord's Prayer. And so today we're going to continue that. And we're going to focus on the phrase in the prayer, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Now, we're coming close to the end of the sermon series. And so, yes, we're at the bottom of the prayer. So, not to oversimplify how temptation might look in our lives today, but I'm going to tell you about a temptation in my life. Just the other night, Terry and I went grocery shopping. Strange, I know. But we consider the grocery shopping our date night. So, Terry knows that I love to go shopping. I don't know why. I blame my grandmother, I guess, because when I was a kid growing up, we would play store in her kitchen. Maybe you did too, but I'll blame my grandmother for that desire that I have today to go shopping. But grocery shopping is one of my favorite things. And I worry Terry about that because she knows that the grocery store is a dangerous place. In my opinion, there's really only two aisles you need to shop. The best two aisles in the whole store. They're the Dorito aisle and the breakfast cereal aisle. Yes, sir. When I was a young man, those two aisles offered me all the substance, all the manna that I needed to survive. I had everything I wanted right there. You know, I still find myself spending time in the cereal aisle catching up with Captain Crunch while Terry does the rest of the shopping. Terry just puts up with me, and I thank God for that. But this particular night, for some reason, you know, throughout the week, in forming this sermon and thinking about the Lord's Prayer over the last several weeks, when we went to the store, I had this particular phrase, "Lead us not into temptation," on my mind. For some reason, I couldn't make myself go down the breakfast cereal aisle. I know that's a pretty simple and little silly temptation, but you know what? Those small temptations are in every one of our lives, and they end up being the footing, the foundation for an even larger temptation that we really don't want to face. It is a danger, and besides that, when we went to the grocery store that night, we violated rule number one of going to the grocery store. We didn't eat yet. We were hungry. And man, let me tell you, the temptations are on every corner when you do that. All right, so why don't we stand together, and I want us to recite together the Lord's Prayer. If you're not sure of the words, they'll be on the screen here. And this is taken from the New King James Version. So if you would please stand, and we'll say it together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. All right, I'm going to pray. Gracious God, thank you so much for a day that we can continue to just look at the prayer of Jesus even closer, Lord. And I just praise you that there are so many of us together. Send your spirit in this place, Lord. Stir us and make your word known in our hearts as we cover this particular topic inside of this prayer. In thy name I pray it. Amen. All right, take a seat. Keep your Bibles handy. So many years ago, There's a few of you in this room might remember. But there was a comedian named Flip Wilson. Now, Flip Wilson made a trademark for himself out of a phrase, and that phrase was, "The devil made me do it." He was very popular. He made a lot of money, actually, but he had several skits in his routines where he would cite life scenarios, and when it evolved to doing something that you really shouldn't do, he would say, "The devil made me do it." It seemed like an excusable phrase. Oh, it's okay. The devil made me do it. He made a lot of people happy by saying that. He really told the world, centered down to just exactly what causes our temptations. The devil does make us do it. So I'm going to throw the soul tattoo up real quick on the screen. Today's soul tattoo is the phrase from the prayer, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Something that you will want to think about throughout this week. So when you read the phrase, "Lead us not into temptation," it seems on the surface to suggest that God is the one who's causing us to be tempted, that God is leading us into those spots where we're tempted. And, you know, maybe you've even been the one that has been the tempter. You know, we've all got friends who will drag us into something. "Oh, come on, nobody will ever know. Let's go. Let's whatever, you know, go steal something from the cafeteria." You know, but is right. But perhaps your friends are telling you, really, maybe you're the one doing the tempting yourself. James chapter 1 makes it very clear, verse 13 to 15, that God is not the one that tempts us. He will place us in a situation or a trial in order to expose us to temptation, to test us, to help us to grow. James chapter 1, verse 13 and 15, "Let no one say when he is tempted, 'I am being tempted by God,' for God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it is conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death." Verse 15 is very careful to make clear just what happens when we fall to temptations. The original Greek word, and I'm going to botch this, I believe it is perazo. Periazo? I got thumbs up all the way around. This actually can be translated in two ways, and both of these other words mean the same thing: tempted and trials. So you see, God is using the trial side of this. It's the devil that does the tempting. He uses this so that we'll grow. He needs us to be tested. And he tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 13, what a trial that we'll never be given a trial that we cannot handle. I love this verse because we worry about being tested often. Each one of us are, maybe you're worried about a simple test at school. Maybe you're worried about tomorrow at work, what you've got to face, or a confrontational conversation that you've got to have. But this verse really settles me down. And it says, "No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it." What a promise. I mean, he already knows your trials. If you pray that God is going to grow you, to improve you, to make you stronger, make you better, whether you know it or not, you're praying to be tested. You're praying that he's going to test and trial you beyond reason, beyond your, seemingly beyond your abilities. But God knows where it's going to end up. If you trust God, he's got it. Now, there's several standout examples in the Bible. You can think of, if you're already thinking, well, I wonder where he's going to go with that. I wonder who he's going to cite. But there's a couple I want to point out today of trials, of being tested and the outcome of it. Now, the first one is in Deuteronomy. When God led the Israelites through the wilderness for 40 years. 40 years. You know, most of us can't think back 40 years. You know, by the time they finally got to the Promised Land, most of those people were either dead or old. There was a whole new generation that came along, a whole new generation that needed to understand what went on in Egypt. The only way God could really make that clear was to test them over time. 40 years. Do you feel like you're in a wilderness situation right now? Going through something that you're just not sure is ever going to end? That's pretty much where the Israelites were. The question is, how long will it take God to get your attention before you understand his commandments, and so that he can help you be released or delivered from that wilderness spot? You know, there's been times, I can think back over my younger years, there was a lot of awkward lessons when I was a kid that I'm not going to tell you any of them. Never. But moreover, you know, I thought I was destined to have a very rough adult life. And I, you know, each of us could look at our lives and say, man, I wish I had it better. But we're not bad where we are. I was that kid that always got picked on the playground, you know, that never got chosen for the team until last. I was that kid that the bullies bullied first. But for you parents with children, I would offer, you know, one thing my parents did was keep me in church. My brothers and sisters and I, they made sure that we went to what was known then as Sunbeams. I don't know if many people ever remember what that is. I'm getting a wrinkled brow here. I went through Royal Ambassadors. I went through youth group. These are all things that we now might call community groups. But it was because of that time. You know, my real friends were in church. My real friends were those that I stuck with and grew in Christ in those times. So I learned a lot of in the Bible. I've tried to remember as much as I could. But the advice to the Israelites is the same thing that I took away from those times as a youth. So let's look at the writer's words in Deuteronomy 8, chapter 2. And it reads, "And you shall remember the whole way the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you, testing you, to know that what is in your heart, whether you should keep his commandments or not." This was the words to the young Israelites, in particular, as well as the old, as they came close to the time when they could get to the Promised Land. I encourage you to keep that verse in your mind and heart when you face your own trials and are looking for a reason why you're having to go through it. Now, perhaps the greatest story of being tested and dealing with temptation is told to us in Matthew, and it's when Jesus was tempted by the devil. We read in there that the Spirit led Jesus into the desert in order to be tested by the devil. Again, we fall back to that, but wait a minute, are we being tested by God? No. This clears it up. In Message, it says that the devil did the tempting, God did the leading. God exposed Jesus to that moment, that time. We see in there where Jesus was fasting for 40 days. Now, put yourself in his shoes for a moment, or his sandals, or bare feet. You know what you're like when you're stretched. Jesus was at his, probably his weakest spot, physically, emotionally. He was starving, probably. And along comes the devil. I got you covered, Jesus. You know what you're like. You're tired, you're starving, you haven't eaten well or slept for a long time. You're downright hangry. You're going to believe just about anything told you. I mean, what's the likelihood that you're not? If I brought you a pepperoni pizza and you're hungry, whether you could eat it or not, you're very, very tempted to eat whatever is in front of you because you don't want to starve any longer. I don't know that too many of us could stand up to it the way Jesus did. Devil tried everything. Finally offered Jesus the world. I mean, the earthly possessions were fantastic. Think of the things, a brand new car, not just a replacement car, a brand new car. You know? I mean, all of these things could be yours if all you got to do is worship me. Jesus, I want to point a couple of things out here. I want you to notice, I don't have it on the screen, but when you go back and read Matthew 4 in the account of Jesus tempting, three times, each time that he responded, he started with a couple of words. Or three words, it is written. You see, Jesus was not falling back on any of his religious beliefs, any of his habits, and especially not his emotions. Emotions will mess you up in making decisions when you're tempted. But Jesus was referring to the old scriptures, the times from before. In fact, he was referring to back in Deuteronomy. If you read closely, you'll see that. It is written, and he rebuked the devil three times. Finally, the devil gave up. That'd be nice. Right? So, a question for you again. Are you really that easy of a target for the devil? I mean, he's got all day. He's got an eternity to wait for you, and you're going to get weak. You're going to be an easy prey. How long would it take the devil to get you to say, okay, I'll do it? You know, in short, these times that we deal with temptations, especially with the devil, or usually with the devil, these are clearly spiritual warfare moments. The problem here is you don't get to choose the battlefield. It's already there. You don't get to choose the time or the place that the battle is going to happen. You're in it now. Every day, every moment that you walk out the door, you're in spiritual warfare. You can't win the war without God. I mean, if you think you're self-equipped to prevent sin, you're wrong. I'll be the first to tell you. The devil is far too strong, he's far too experienced, and he's far too crafty. He's got you. You know, I find it interesting in movies these days, how you see spiritual warfare every time you look at a movie. You know, whether you're a karate champion hopeful, a young Jedi Knight, or even a warrior hoping to honor your family and your country, right? It's all the same thing. You always find yourself facing an evil force or the dark side, right? In all these cases, you can't win the battle. It's just as you are. You got to change up. You got to train. You've got to develop. You've got to learn who the enemy is and more about the enemy. You might even say that you have to train. You must. So how do you grow? How do you do this? How do you get out of these temptations? How do you resist it? It's so easy. You'll walk out of here today and something's going to trip you up. Well, the first thing you could do is pray. Pray a lot. Pray that God is going to help you avoid the things in your life that you know are tempting, whether it's the Dorito aisle or something much more serious. You need to pray that as you sit down and read the scriptures, that God will clear your head, clear your heart, so that you can really grasp what they're trying to say. The scriptures are there for you to grow from. They have been since the old times, from Deuteronomy on. Romans 15:4, it reads, "For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, and through endurance and through the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope." The next thing you could do is connect with God's instruction book on a daily basis. That's the Bible. Dive in, without a life jacket, by the way. Dive in, learn the scriptures, develop an understanding of the context of those words. Tie scriptures together, study it. Understand what it's saying to you. And stay connected with fellow Christians that are trying to do the same thing, trying to understand the Bible. We have community groups that help you do that. You have friends. I think at school you're doing things now as well, when we can with COVID. But stay connected. You're soon going to see how the scriptures relate to your life today. You can't learn to swim until you get into the water. So just get into it. I don't know about you, but when I visit a city or go traveling somewhere, before I go and even after I get there, I'm looking at a road map. Well, that may date me. Some of you look at a navigation device. But I look at a road map. Terry will tell you, we got maps that they're current, they're dated right, the roads are still there. But the reason I do that is because I don't want to go the wrong way. I don't want to head in the wrong direction. I want to know where I'm supposed to be and how to get there. The same thing is true when we shop. Terry will be the first to tell you, we get the iPhone out and we look at the reviews. Well, this one's better than that one because we're studying. We're looking for why wouldn't we want to do this? Well, why wouldn't we want to look at God's instruction book with the same focus and energy? I mean, really. Next, you could live an intentional life. Place Jesus out in front of you when you leave for the day. Now, put him right out here when you walk. Everywhere you go, just follow him. Make it so that you have to look around him in order to see the temptations. If you let him guide you, he will block it. Use Jesus' words when you face temptation. When he was in the wilderness, he would simply say, "Get thee behind me, Satan. Just get behind me." Fall back on the scriptures. They're there for that. All right. This is what Paul is talking about in Romans 15, chapter 4. When he tells us to trust the scriptures of ancient times, all of this that we just laid out in front of you, get into it and it will be your life instruction. So Jesus, you know, he stood on the word of God. Probably, the Apostle Paul probably had more to say about spiritual warfare and being prepared to stand on temptations than anybody we read, really, in the Bible. I think he actually had more evil to deal with up until the time of his conversion than any convert we know. I think God used his blindness on the road to Damascus, his wilderness moment, as a purifying time, because Paul came out of that with such deep writings. I was like, this is the same guy from before. He has more to tell us about being ready than any chapter I can read in the Bible. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11 and 12 tells us to put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. That's the devil, guys. Sorry about that. So spiritual warfare, it's happening all the time. You got to remain prepared. Paul, truly understand this. If you're going to be successful in standing against the devil, you got to stand with God. You've got to use everything that God is, has, and offers you, the entire armor of God. The best resources that we have for the armor of God, they're the Bible. They're the support of your community groups, and it's and your prayer time. But none of that is really completely helpful if you don't have a deep personal connection between yourself and God. You've got to develop that. In Revelation, well, we're going to go into the deliver the second part of the phrase, but deliver us from evil. So in Revelation 12, verse 9 through 10, evil is referred to with five names: dragon, serpent, devil, Satan, and accuser of brethren. In various other verses, he's also named the God of this world, the prince or ruler of this world, liar, thief, murderer, father of lies, and Lucifer. The two most common names for him are Satan and the devil. The literal meaning of the word Satan is adversary. The literal meaning of devil is accuser. Now, in some translations, this phrase reads, deliver us from the accuser. But in the Message, it simply states, keep us safe from ourselves and the devil. Oh, ouch. Oh, you think it doesn't apply to you? How many of us go through our life day after day, year after year, only gearing our time and our lives, our routines, developing habits, all about us, all about my world? You know, sometimes the blinders that we put on ourselves to keep the distractions of the world from coming in, sometimes they prevent us from seeing and talking with the people who really need to know Jesus, who really need help. You know, I would encourage you that we need to keep us safe from ourselves as a very real phrase that applies. We're just not available. Do you pray for yourself and your needs more than you do the needs of others or those of the spiritually starved world? See, there's a great temptation in just being comfortable. You know, when we love our homes, we love our norms. We need to get out of that basic routine. There's a careful balance and important difference between living a life that does not open you up to temptations and living a selfish life without reaching the lost world. But it shouldn't stop with that. When we've been delivered from an evil situation in our life, we need to recognize that it's God that got us through it. We need to see that God is, that when we let God have authority of that area in our lives and ask Him to never let us go back to that point of temptation, we need to realize that when God takes over and has control of that situation, the devil is not allowed to re-enter. There needs to be a lot of that in our lives. Hebrews chapter, I'm going to cite a verse here, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 18. I'm not going to recite it, but it's in reference to this next point. And I'm going to actually end the service right here. I'm going to tell you what Oswald Chambers has to say about temptation. Temptation is not something we can escape. In fact, it is essential to the well-rounded life of a person. Beware of thinking that you're tempted as no one else. What you go through is the common inheritance of the human race, not something that no one has ever before endured. God does not save us from temptation. He sustains us in the midst of them. Temptations are there for a very practical reason. We don't like them. But they're a necessary part of our lives. Perhaps today, maybe you're struggling with that. Maybe there's some temptation in your life right now that you don't know what to do with, how to handle. Perhaps you got a little guilt about temptation. Maybe you don't even know Jesus as your Savior. It's my prayer that you do soon, if that's the case. But in just a moment, the worship team will come back up here and sing another song, lead us through some continued worship. And I'll be in the back. John, Pastor John and Ricky are available. If you want to talk about it, anything, I'd like to visit with you. So let's pray. Father God, you are in this place and we know it. And we feel your presence and we thank you for it. Lord, I just pray that as we prepare to leave this place, that we would not think twice about looking to you before we fold to the desires of our temptations. Lord, we thank you for the prayer of Jesus and for its example in our lives. And I just pray now, Father, that you would stir us as we continue to worship. In thy name I pray it. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the audio of Soma Community Church located in Jefferson City. Feel free to make copies of this message to give to others, but please do not charge for the content or alter it in any way without express written permission. For more information about Soma, please visit us at www.somajc.org.